Good morning. It's time for In the Green Outdoors with Carol Kelly and Gail Martin. Each week, the ladies will bring you planting and gardening ideas, tell you about native Ohio plants, prairies, and habitats. Great tips for everything in the green outdoors. This week with Gail Martin.
Good morning. This is Gail Martin coming to you with another segment of In the Green Outdoors. Today, I'm presenting the final seasonal legend from our Native American heritage. This legend is the hunting of the great bear, and this comes from the Iroquois people. There were four hunters who were brothers. No one was as good as they at following a trail. They never gave up once they began tracking their quarry. One day, in the moon when the cold nights return, an urgent message came to the village. A great bear, once so large and powerful that many thought it must be a monster, had appeared. The people of the village, whose hunting grounds the bear had invaded, were afraid. The children were no longer playing in the woods, and the longhouses of the village were guarded each night by armed men. Picking up their spears and calling to their small dog, the four hunters headed for the village. As they came closer, they noticed how quiet the woods were. There were no signs of rabbits or deer. Even the birds were silent. On a large pine tree, they found the scars where the great bear had reared up on hind legs and made scratches to mark its territory. The tallest of the brothers tried to touch the highest of the scratch marks with the tip of his spear. "It is as the people feared," he said. "This one is a monster bear." "But what about the magic that the monster bear has?" said the second brother. The first brother shook his head. "That magic will do it no good if we find its track." "That's so," said the third brother. "I have always heard that from the old people. Those creatures can only chase a hunter who has not yet found its trail. When you find the track and begin to chase it, then it must run from you." "Brothers," said the fourth hunter, who was also the fattest and laziest, "did we bring along enough food to eat? It may take a long time to catch this big bear, and I'm feeling hungry." Before long, the four hunters and their small dog reached the village, and it was a sad sight to see. There was no fire burning in the center of the village, and the doors of all the longhouses were closed. Grim men stood on guard with clubs and spears, and no game hung from the racks, nor were their skins stretched for tanning, and the people looked hungry. The elder sachem of the village came out, and the tallest of the four hunters spoke to him. "Uncle," the hunter said, "we have come to help you get rid of the monster." "I am not sure you can do that, nephews," the sachem said. "Though we find the tracks closer and closer to the doors of our lodges each morning, whenever we try to follow the tracks, they disappear." The second hunter patted the head of their small dog. "Uncle," he said, "that is because they do not have a dog such as ours." He pointed to the two black circles above the eyes of the small dog. "Four eyes can see any tracks, even those many days old." "May Creator's protection be with you," said the sachem. "Do not worry, uncle," said the third hunter. "Once we are on a trail, we never stop finding. We never stop following until we finished our hunt." They walked following their little dog. It kept lifting its head as if to look around with its four eyes. The trail was not easy to find. "Brothers," the lazy hunter complained, "don't you think we should rest? We've been walking a long time." But his brothers paid no attention to him. Though they could see no tracks, they could feel the presence of the bear. And they knew that if they did not soon find its trail, it would make its way behind them, and then they would be the hunted ones. The lazy brother took out his pemmican pouch, thinking he could eat while they walked along. He opened it and shook out the food he had prepared so carefully by pounding together strips of meat and berries with maple sugar and then drying them in the sun. But instead of pemmican, pale squirming things fell into his hands. The magic of the monster bear had changed his food into worms. "Brothers," he shouted, "let's hurry up and catch that big bear. Look what it did to my pemmican. Now I'm getting angry." Meanwhile, like a pale giant shadow, the bear was moving through the trees close to the hunters. Its mouth was open as it watched them, and its huge teeth shone. Its eyes flashed red. Soon it would be behind them and on their trail. Just then, though, The little dog lifted its head and yelped. "Yes," the first brother called. "Four Eyes has found the trail," shouted the second brother. "We have the track of the bear," said the third. "Big bear," the lazy hunter yelled. "We are after you now." Fear filled the heart of the great bear, and it began to run. As it broke from the cover of the pines, the four hunters saw it, a gigantic white shape, so pale it appeared almost hairless. With loud cries, the hunters ran after it. The great bear's strides were long, and it moved at a fast speed. The four hunters and their little dog ran hard, so they did not fall behind, and the trail led through swamps and thickets. The bear pushed everything aside as it ran, knocking down big trees. On and on they ran, over hills and through valleys, and they came to the slope of a mountain and followed the trail higher and higher, every now and then catching a glimpse of their quarry over the next rise. Now, though, the lazy hunter was getting very tired of running. He pretended to fall and twist his ankle. "Brothers," he called, "I've sprained my ankle. You must carry me." So his three brothers did as he asked. Two of them took turns carrying him while the third hunter carried his spear. And of course now they ran more slowly because of the heavy load, but they were not falling any further behind. The day had turned into night, and they could still see the white shape of the bear ahead of them. They were at the top of the mountain now, and the ground beneath them was very dark as they ran across. The bear was tiring, but so were they. It was not easy to carry their fat and lazy brother, and the little dog, Four Eyes, was close behind the great bear, nipping at its tail as it ran. "Brothers," said the lazy one, "put me down now. I think my leg has gotten better." And the brothers did as he asked. Fresh and rested, the lazy one grabbed his spear and dashed ahead of the others, just as the great bear turned to bite at the little dog. He leveled his spear and thrust it into the bear's heart, and the monster fell dead. By the time the other brothers caught up, the lazy hunter had already built a fire and was cutting up the big bear. "Come on, brothers," he said. "Let's eat. All this running has made me hungry." They cooked the meat of the bear, and its fat sizzled as it dripped into their fire. They ate until even the lazy one was satisfied and leaned back in contentment. Just then, though, the first hunter looked down at his feet. "Brothers," he exclaimed, "look below us." The four hunters looked down, and below them were thousands of small sparkling lights in the darkness. They realized this was all around them. "We aren't on a mountaintop at all," said the third brother. "We're up in the sky." The great bear had indeed been magical. Its feet had taken it high above the earth as it tried to escape the hunters. However, their determination not to give up the chase had carried them up that strange trail as well. Just then, their little dog yipped twice. "The great bear," said the second hunter. "Look." There, where they had piled the bones from their feast, the great bear was coming back to life and rising to its feet. As they watched, it began to run again, with the small dog close on its heels. "Follow me," shouted the first brother, and grabbing up their spears, they began to the chase again. They chased the great bear across the skies, and so it was, the old people say, and so it still is. Each autumn, the hunters chase the great bear across the skies and kill it. And then, as they cut it up for their meal, the blood falls down from the heavens and colors the leaves of the maple trees scarlet. They cook the bear, and the fat dripping from their fires turns the grass white. If you look carefully into the skies as the seasons change, you can read that story. The great bear is the square shape, which some people call the bowl of the Big Dipper. And the hunters and their small dog, which you can just barely see, are close behind. They're the dipper's handle. When autumn comes and that constellation turns upside down, the old people say, "Ah, the lazy hunter has killed the bear." But as the moons pass and the sky moves once more towards spring, the bear slowly rises back on its feet and the chase begins again. I hope you've enjoyed these Native American legends from long ago. If you want to read more, these legends and other stories can be found at www.firstpeople.us. And as always, if you have any questions or comments on the broadcast, please call me at 419-688-9800 or email me at Gale, that's G-A-L-E, at nativesinharmony.com. This is Gale Martin from Natives in Harmony signing off for In the Green Outdoors.
And there's your show for the week. In the Green Outdoors is a production of WZMO Radio. The show airs Saturdays and Mondays right after the second cup at about 9:30 a.m. If you have a question or comment for Carol or Gale, you can email it to WZMO@roadrunner.com. Thank you for listening.